All right, Matt Birdsall is going to join us in a little bit. We would like you to join us. The Storm Chasers are back tomorrow. They're back tomorrow at Warner Park. They open up the season a month late, a year late. But they are back to take on the St. Paul Saints, the AAA affiliate of the Minnesota Twins. There'll be some new teams that are now in Omaha's league. First pitch tomorrow night at Warner Park is 6:35. We'll be there on Wednesday with the show from 10 to 2. I believe that we will be in the Pro Shop. Is that correct?
As of right now, yes.
What would change?
Putting you outside. You requested it?
I looked at the weather.
Oh, now you want to be
I'm getting a little wimpy.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Tell you what, the sun got to me this weekend. I got a lot of sun. Then I went outside today, and I'm like, oh, wow, it's cold. All right. I'm okay. I'm a weather weenie. I'm fine. My blood is thinned out. This is Matt Birdsall. How was your weekend?
Okay.
All right.
It was great because we were crazy busy. It sucked on the other side because we had one lover boy that had to go down to Kansas for formal, and one guy, he went down to Florida, which is awesome because he needed a break. He's been a workhorser for a while, and had another one. His tummy hurt, all this nonsense. So we survived. But it was great. You know, people had a good time.
That's good. If people would like a job, stop in at Pisons, 156th and Center.
Yeah, for sure. If you have kids that you want out of the house, send them my way.
See,
I got to get out of here, kid. Go work.
I think compared to other restaurants, because you're looking for some of the younger set, you might be in a better spot. But, man, I was out somewhere Friday night, and they are super concerned about the lack of available people, that one, bodies that are applying for jobs, or people don't want to work anymore. They left the industry when the pandemic hit, that they're really, really concerned as more things open up, they are so short staffed, and they don't know if they can make up for it, even paying as well as they do at this particular bougie restaurant.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, that was a lot of the things that we've done here lately, there's going to be some longer term ramifications and stuff, because you've got people, you know, you've got big time outfits that can't get product sale. Like, mm-hmm. You know, we're selling $3, $4, $5, $6, $8, you know, lunch specials and $30 meals for families. You got people who got $1 million deals that can't get things done. Like, it's one guy told me, he was like, our year is open. He's like, they're not making any more of what we sell.
Wow.
But I said, oh, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I'm sorry. So,
well,
kind of crazy.
Well, it does. And, you know, I mean, it's just coincides with things are starting to open up again. Hey, before we talk some football, I don't know if you saw this, because you are a businessman. You pay a little attention to the stock market. I don't know if you saw Buffett over the weekend talking about Berkshire Hathaway. But did you see that Verizon, which is losing billions, sold off Yahoo and AOL? Do you remember your first email address, what it was?
My first email address was University of Nebraska at Lincoln.
So you didn't have like an Yahoo or AOL account before you got to Lincoln?
No, and those that have dealt with me, they know that I absolutely suck at email, okay? And it's not that, I mean, I can respond, I can type, I can all that stuff. But it's just, I will never check that thing. And so now I've gotten to where people send me an email and then text me and said, I sent you an email. So I check it. But my first non-university email was a Hotmail account.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then that one went away, and now we're on the Gmail.
So I still have my original AOL account. I use it as a dummy account for things that I don't want to come into my main account. Or, you know, you get stopped and you're trying to, you know, you go to like a ball game and they want to give you like a free koozie or a towel or a t-shirt or something. Oh, yeah, I use that email address.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's what that one is intended. Yeah.
But I'm really surprised that AOL is still around. It still works for me. I actually checked it like 2 days ago, so.
Oh, you still remember the password?
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I'll give it out later on air.
Are you a one universal password guy that opens them all up?
No, I am not. I am not. I have. I'm pretty protective. So I've got. I think all my passwords are completely different across the board. I just hope that I can remember them, or that my computer remembers my password. Because if I ever don't have that element, or I lose my phone, I don't know what anybody's phone number is. Like, seriously, I have no idea what your phone number is. I just know that you're in my phone as Verz.
Do you remember, like, your grade school phone number?
Yes, 515-278-5418. That number might...
384-5441.
Yeah. I mean, I like probably you, I lived all over Lincoln when I was, you know, in the capital city. I can only remember a couple of those addresses, but I remember my original address growing up. I mean, I'll never forget that.
Hey, 1744 South Cotner used to get it going in Lincoln. that was good.
Well, it was not as good as 26th and W. Or I lived on 9th. I lived on 9th and G once.
You were a little chez ghetto. Like we got out of there. We moved out.
Well,
as I
got a better job, I started to move further and further away from that area. Like by the end of my tenure in Lincoln, I was at like 48th and Pine
Lake.
Yeah, 48th and Pine Lake Road. what did you think about Saturday? Let's first start with, because this became, I think some people were surprised. They didn't get the memo of what the format was going to look like. What did you think of the format? The first half, no live tackling. Second half, let's go live.
Me personally, I think you could have green jacketed the quarterbacks and let everybody else kind of get at it. Linemen, we don't have that luxury. We got to get down. We got to bang. We got to hit, do those things. So it is what it is. That's what, like, it's hard for me in these instances because at times you sound like a curmudgeon. It's their program. Like, they're going to do what they feel is best for everything. If that's the way they felt their team was going to evade that, you know, cause like we talked last week, I said, well, one thing we don't want to have happen is injury. And they took their top line guys, and I think for the most part, they got them out of there without injury. That's a good goal to accomplish, and that's how they went about it. I had more fun watching the young guys kind of get after it and smack around a little bit, except the quarterback. So overall, hey, it's your deal. If you feel that's going to put you in the best spot to win, do that.
Were you surprised, or was there maybe an indication of how this staff feels about the depth on their team? That when you find out that they did a lot of 11-on-11 going live and being physical during camp?
I think it's a progression of what it has to become. We've all seen the snippet of the Nick Saban recruiting pitch, and I don't know if that gentleman that recorded that and put that out there went to Alabama, but I guess there might be some retribution for that. But he straight up said, he said, yeah, he said, they can sell you that. They can sell you that it is, you're going to, you know, play right away. He said, but our practices, man, this is a paraphrasing for, he basically said our practices are better than most of their game. So you know they're going at it. Like, you know they're going. Now, the fact that Nebraska has evolved into that, I think it's awesome. I think it's a great opportunity for them to really develop their younger guys, because now you are going to go full go at it. We're going to play 11-on-11. We're going to hit, tackle. We're going to be better at these little intricate phases of the game to make ourselves better. So,
well,
I'm good with it.
Let's go down that road for just a moment, because, and I'm not going back to when you were playing, but that was a familiar theme. Let's make Monday through Thursday so difficult that Saturday almost seems like a walk in the park because of what you had to put in Monday through Thursday against the competition that you were going against. I think that's what they would like to have in this current setup in Lincoln. But what makes it so intense Monday through Thursday that Saturday seems like easy breezy?
The participants.
So
the participants make that league. The coaches can lay out the schedule and say, hey, we're going to do this, and hey, we're going to do that, and blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, that player has to take that and say, you know what, I'm going out and we're getting better today. We're going to get better. because of everything we're going to do in this practice. And I love you. You're my family. But in 20 minutes, I'm going to try to knock the living ass out of you. And it ain't nothing personal. It's just this. And if you're a second team, third team, fourth team guy, guess what? You ain't getting the easy end of it. Like, you're going to go. I remember a scrimmage, and Christian was unblockable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, unblockable. And it was when he was, I think it was coming. He wasn't in the mix as much. He was more redshirted in that year that he did.
Yep.
And nobody could. We're all just sitting there looking at us like, hey, man, this is great. You can yell at me all you want. This dude's in it today. So now what we have to do after that is like, okay, I got to refine technique. I got to refine everything I do because I can't have that happen to me. And there's got to be, you know, a healthy fear of being replaced. And if you go out and have a bad day, 11-on-11, and they can put somebody in your spot the next day, that's good. So, yeah, it was just the guy. You know, you had a bunch of alphas, and everybody wanted to go out every day and show that they were the best. And they gave us an opportunity on Tuesday, Wednesday to go figure it out. And we figured a lot of stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I heard Najee Harris 2 weeks ago say that almost same exact line that I've heard you say, Damon has said, Foreman has said, I thought, bam. That's when you've achieved that as a program, man, it is golden, Jerry. It's absolutely golden. When you got guys that they are looking forward to Saturday because they know how difficult Monday through Thursday is going to be.
But look at how long, like, we want to hate Saban and crew and staff because of what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But look how long they sustained that.
Yep.
Like, look at how long that has gone on. And he's like, oh, coach leaves? No problem. You want to come take a shot? And he kind of has really done a nice job of getting this, what do they call him? Consultant?
Analyst.
Analyst. There you go. That way, if he's got somebody that goes away, he's like, no big deal. Watch this. I got a guy that's been waiting in the wings. He knows how we do this. Mm-hmm. They just plug and play, and away they go. So that forward thinking and everything is pretty awesome. But, Jeff, when you get practice harder than the game, you're doing some stuff.
And the end result is you dominate the first round of the NFL draft, or you are in a conference that dominates the NFL draft. Matt Verzal joining us. If Cam Jurgens is the best offensive lineman in 2021 for Nebraska, that means what?
That their development has really grabbed a hold of him. That their ability to develop a player has started to reap some reward. Just from, you know, where he started and switching positions, going over there, and maybe a little unjust outside pressure of comparing him to one of the best centers in the history of the program. Now you're in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's your best player. Okay, I've taken a tight end, I've moved him to center, I put weight on him, and now he's the best one we got. So that kind of encompasses your whole program, right? We changed his body, we've taught him the game, and then we've given him technique to go execute. That'd be a big faith to me for Coach Austin and how he's going to be able to develop guys.
It would also appear that any snapping issues, at least for the spring, have been fixed. We didn't hear about it. We didn't see anything on Saturday. That if you have that, you know him, if you have that out of the way, then he can go and do what he does best, and he's got the ability to get to the second level. I mean, if you solve that, then I think you're headed in the right direction with him, and then it's a trickle-down effect with the other four brothers on his line.
Ball under your nose and let it go. After that, you're just being athletic. Now, I understand what you're saying. His ability to get to the second level is great. It's fantastic. But make sure level one is secure. Don't put your boys on an island. Like, you'd rather have a running back have to be able to cut a linebacker back into you,
mm-hmm,
than a defensive lineman tackling your running back because you maybe left your double team a little early. That all comes with repetition, and those are all things. But 100%, you get him out in space, he handles space well for a kid his size. So that's a huge thing.
The other go ahead.
Take care of the big boy before you try to get to the little.
The other part is watching on throughout spring, going off of the Rutgers game last year where he was pressed into getting his first start, Turner Corcoran is learning a lot more about this game, and I think he's going to benefit from playing a defense against a defensive line that's a little bit more experienced. But from what you've heard, what you've seen, what's the next step in his development after this spring where he is the man and they brought a lot to him, whether they've tried to beat him inside, which is not good for an offensive tackle, or they've just tried to run him over on the outside? I mean, they've tested him to the extreme. What do you think his offseason looks like and ramping up for the start of the season at that spot? What's the next step in his development?
Everybody, and you could put them all in. They can all go into this category. But everybody up front, agility is the big thing, right? That foot speed, that foot quickness. A lot of times when a guy gets beat across the face, we just worked on this with some fellas yesterday, because that's everybody's fear, right? He's going to quick swim across the face, or he's going to spin, he's going to look stupid. You're going to get beat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, keep your face wide. Keep your feet active. Can't have that happen. Yep. Keep yourself in balance. So those would be the things. Now, this all generates. When you look back at the great linemen in draft history, you had big, strong dudes. You had maybe undersized dudes. You had kind of some freak athletic dudes. The one common trait they all have is amazing feet. You know, Aaron Taylor, for everything he has great feet. Chris Dishman, great feet. Zach Wigger, great feet. Dye, super, super strong guy, amazing feet. But you can keep that agility going. That's what matters. That those guys have to have that quick twitch in the lower body.
Mm-hmm.
That way you can slant, twist, and turn, and do all the fancy defensive things you want to do. My feet are so good. Now I've leveled the plane.
They've got some options. I'm, you know, Sichterman and Banks at the guard spot will be to see how they go back and forth and to decide what they finally get. At the end of the day, because, you know, you had a couple of guys show up that had the run the damn ball hats on. Cam Taylor-Britt said that he noticed right away that they had a more concerted effort in spring to become a physical downhill running team. For somebody that I'm gonna say you're you know, you got to show it before I believe it. What do you have to see to believe that is actually what they're going to do this season? Is they are committed to being a physical downhill running team?
What do I have to see?
Yeah, what do you have to in particular that you say, okay, this just isn't a bunch of fluff. This is actually something that is real, tangible. They are committed.
Oh, okay. Well, just the super douchey initial verbal answer was going to be called plays.
Mm-hmm. No, but that's not douchey. That's reality.
Now the real answer would be the first third and five that you get into in the season, are you willing to run that? Are you willing to say, hey, we're running this one.
Ooh.
We're going to get 5 yards running the ball on third down.
Ooh, isn't that a pass? Isn't that a pass these days, third and five, you're supposed to throw the football?
Exactly. You get into a spread out formation, the defense brings in their nickel package, and now we're going to bash. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And probably more than likely, if I've scouted film correctly, I know they have a favorite blitz in this scenario that may involve a twist in the offensive or the defensive line. Hey, boys, we're going to practice this. We're going to rep this. We think with 80% accuracy, they're going to run this defense, right? They go slant out with the defensive tackle, loops back around with the defensive end, but we're ready for it. My tackle picks up your tackle. My guard's ready for your end, loop around. We slide right under you in the zone read and get 7. And now you don't know what to call on that 3rd and 5.
Mm.
You can't get down into nickel because we've shown we can run this back. That would be a big one for me. Big sign of trust for Coach Austin and the guy.
Well, that's what they want. They got it. They got it the last time they played in a game where they kept score. I think they want that. But you know how this works, the chain of command. You got to prove it and gain some trust before the person that's pulling the trigger on the play says, yep, I believe in you.
And the first time they do call it, those linemen should be absolutely they should be very excited, we'll say, when that is called.
Well,
they should be through the roof excited. Execute the play, get 7, look over at your coaches, both of them that are calling plays, and give a thumbs up, or do the spoon to your mouth thing. to speak. Let me hit people. Don't make me go backwards. Let me go forward.
That's Mark. That's the first time you've mentioned that that move on air. The spoon to the mouth. Feed me.
Yeah. I'm diverse.
Yeah. You are diverse. Yes, you are. I appreciate it. Have a wonderful week. You know, we're always here if we can ever do anything for you.
Yeah, I got you scheduled on Friday. You are waiting tables, and George is working the registers.
I've got experience. I got you, first.
Hey, maybe we should swap.
Your shit.
Maybe I should run the register.
Start it.
You want to run the register?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to run your own register, Sharp. You're on the floor.
Oh. All right.
You'll be serving. You'll be telling stories.
Okay. All right. I'm there. I would like to work like six to midnight.
Wrong. You start at 3.
Till midnight?
So you got it. Nope. We closed at 10.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
3 to 10.
Oh. I guess you'll been in there after hours.
Yeah. You'll get done at 2. It's a 22-minute drive out here. Maybe get you a little lunch. Get you a little late lunch. You'll be ready to roll by 3.
All right. Good deal. Anything I can do for you?
All right, boys. All right.
That's Matt Verzel. I think he was serious, George. I think he expects us Friday to be out at Paisan's working.
I got experience. I'm cool.
Don't we have to pass some like law, or, like a state test or something?
Oh yeah, that's fine. We'll just throw that under the rug.
I used to get my food handler's permit when I was in baseball. Everybody had to get it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I don't know. I don't know if it transfers from one state to another.
That's actually a good question.
Don't you have to belong to the union? Do we have union?
Probably not.
He didn't say we were getting paid.
Yeah, he didn't mention.
Because there's a minimum wage, even for restaurant workers now, waiters and waitresses, like $15-16 an hour, plus tips.
That's what I heard.
That's what I'm in.
Okay, me too.
I'm in. All right, 11:12. Mike Schaefer is going to join us in the next hour. Let's discuss what happened on Saturday in Lincoln. The whole thing that happened on Saturday in Lincoln. People are going to say, don't overanalyze a practice. That's true. But there are a couple of things to analyze and discuss. And a weekend in which Nebraska started to sell you something. Are you starting to buy it? Are you waiting for 115 days? Where are you at? We'll get into that and much more. We roll till 2 on a Monday, the first Monday in May on 1620 The Zone.